Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. With me in studio today is Fred Matze, an inspiring humanitarian who, like many others, cares deeply about the future of our planet. He has made it his life's work to contribute towards creating a more functional society by means of inspiration and empowerment. He is founder and chairman of the Fred Foundation, which supports projects in the fields of healthcare, environment, conservation, peace, and global transformation. His book, Rediscover Your Heart, was published in 2009, and today we are here to talk about his new book called Beyond Us, and the documentary is entitled Beyond Me. Welcome, Fred Matze, to Voice Rising.
Thank you very much, Kara, for having me. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Fred, we're going to dive into all these beautiful questions. I've been reading your book. You do have a new book out, and you talk about living on Earth after experiencing oneness. And I know that behind every quest, there's usually a question. And your quest is to explore what lies beyond the bounds of your own thinking. So may I begin by asking you, what is the question that drives you the most at the present moment?
How I can be helpful and help people to go beyond the daily life, to trust there is a power that is infinite and that expresses itself in the finite, and not to be blinded by all those activities within the finite. Mm-hmm. We are all educated to, handle things, to learn objects, observations, to talk through words and communicate all forms of information using words, but there's something beyond words. There's communication in systems between sparrows, between ants, between trees, between millions of expressions of life on this planet. And mm-hmm. that's all based on several experiences that I've had beyond the finite, based on what I would call divine love, eternal love. In the school systems, we are not learning about those kind of subjects.
No.
We all are good children, and we listen to the teacher, and we learn words and geography or whatever. And so we trust our thinking process as an inroad to information, that what expresses mm-hmm. itself in form, the rational, the mental faculty.
Right.
But
right.
we have not been taught to trust also the intuitive faculty, that the one that informs us pre-words, so to say. And it's so important. Yeah, I listen to what you're wanting to say.
In many ways, we've been even I don't want to say untaught, but we come with this natural intuitive ability. We come with this open-hearted, open mind, curiosity before we go into the educational program. Conditioning,
when you look this little baby in the eyes, it doesn't have yet words, and still we can feel the love that we can exchange. So we feel it with dogs, we feel it with people that have Alzheimer's. We can still communicate, and it's beyond words. And the big misunderstanding is that we equalize consciousness with the use, the functional use of the ratio, the male part to handle and process information. But the female part, the feeling part, often, by the way, blinded by emotions, and the intuitive part, we have not learned to trust.
Yeah, we come without words, but we come with a voice, right? That's my specialty. And I always think it's amazing how with that vibrational force, with that open channel, we're able to conduct the whole room. We're able to pull people towards us and push them away. And it's we're able very much to communicate, not with the words, but with our voice and our mimics. It's pretty amazing. You actually started your life, as probably most of us in this world, deeply conditioned by that school system and by, I believe you went into business and you were very successful. You still are successful, not that you were successful. You're still very successful, but then there was a turning point. You had a deeply transformational moment that changed. Was it one big moment, or was it many little moments where you suddenly realized, I think I want to live my life with a different focus?
Yeah, thank you, Cara, for asking. Yeah, I came into the business world not so much by choice, but because my father, who had started a big business in real estate development, got ill. He developed diabetes and Parkinson's disease. So, I did it, but it was not my plan. But in those days, in the mid-60s, you couldn't say no to your dad. So, indeed, it was when I already stepped back from that position and was volunteering at Red Cross that I had an experience during a healing session in 1985 in the Swiss Alps, when a friend of mine said, well, I know you have diabetes running in the family and you should consider to be with this healer. And anyway, I met the healer. He said, I'm going to give you 2 liters of water. I'm going to cook for you brown rice and a lot of very healthy vegetables. And I give you a minusculous portion of condensed nutmeg, and that's a stuff that's an invention of Dr. Jonas Salk, the father of the polio vaccine, and I treat him as a therapist himself with this stuff. So that gave me quite some confidence.
Yeah.
And so, it was a very big man from New York. And anyway, I won't go too deep into it, but it was pretty funny. And I had to go into a hot bath. And after hot bath, I got a profound massage. And then out of the loudspeakers in the room, there was a song, "We are the world, we are the children." Anyway, so and I felt relaxed and more relaxed and more relaxed. And the song came so deep in that I later on learned to say I was really present in the moment. And then all of a sudden I got a hint, like, hey, my friend Sally, we were near the ski slope, she is breaking her right collarbone and she will be in 10 minutes here at the door to say that she needs an ambulance to go to the hospital. So 10 minutes later, she showed up, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so one thing that I learned, there is something profound in the feeling that transcends time and space. And so it is that in that same experience, I am connected beyond my senses with information that later on was accurate. So, and from then on, I started to be really interested in how time, space, the finite relates to infinity, what love is, what fear is, and all those things that connect with it.
Beautiful. Frank, you just brought out this new book called Beyond Us, A Humanitarian's Perspective on Our Values, Beliefs, and Way of Life. What would you like people to experience while reading and walking with you on the journey?
Please keep your mind and heart open and realize, like me, even when you read, we all the time make associations with known paths that we already have walked. But what I'm trying to do with the reader is to go beyond the path into the wild open fields and invite you to rethink, to re-experience, to re-feel who you are, can consider the choices that you have made in your life and try to reconsider them. And anyway, stay open.
Yeah. The book is a collection of many essays, so each essay has a certain focus. There is an essay called Paths, and you guide us in this essay to reflect on how our ancestors' inner lives were directly integrated with their outer natural environment, where you show these beautiful images, you create them and saying, look, our ancestors did not have the roads and the highways and the marked trails. Now we have GPS in the car, where we get into the car totally disconnected from our intuition and inner guidance system and have a robotic voice telling us turn left, turn right, 2 more meters, and then, you know. So we follow this pre-programmed voice. How did our ancestors have freedoms that we lost?
Well, I think I didn't live in those days, but I try to imagine. I think that their senses were much more open to all kind of weather conditions, smells, winds, you know, fires, temperature change, the stars. They meant much more for them to guide them to food, to water, or whatever. So, those days, there were no paths. Perhaps the word didn't even exist. So I'm not judging about what was better or what is worse, but it is important to remember that we have that ability. And perhaps through all the intervention that it looks like that we're offered by the market, by all kind of IT systems, millions of possibilities, but they don't say that we are in the meantime aborted from billions of opportunities. Because we are framed in the way they create their algorithms.
So, that's the one thing. And I think really that people, we have lost this intuition, and there's so much stress. And simply this idea that perhaps the ancestors before, they had that vast sky over them. They knew the constellations. They looked to the moon. They were listening more. Gives you already a sense of more space, right? A sense of more room around you, which helps our nervous system also, stay relaxed.
To
Although
open,
then, of
yeah,
course,
yeah, yeah.
There might have been a tiger jumping out somewhere, but but yeah.
you're right, because indeed let's not romanticize it. It can be a hard life too. You could have tigers and or you could freeze if by night you wouldn't have a good shelter, you know. So
yeah.
it's not, I'm not saying that it was more easy.
When you talk about, you talk a little bit in your book about this idea of the wild, the nature, and I had to think about even our food sources have become so normed. Our apples are all the same size with no spots. And I often say to people, and I was wondering your thoughts of this, you know, if we norm our food that we only have one or two sorts of apples and they're all the same size and they're all the same color and we have the carrots are all washed, and then this is, you know, we're experiencing so much division and so much non-diversity. Everyone talks about diversity, but in the end we do have still, unfortunately, social injustice and racism. How do we get back to that garden to really understand that the nature is, you know, we have crooked trees, we have tall, we have short, we have wild, we have old, we have young, if we don't even find that on our dinner table, right?
Yeah, I've never thought that. It was a very interesting question in that way, indeed. So what you're saying, what you have gathered, yes, our food is even structured. And they want us to look at food this way. They want us to, I mean, the industry wants us to taste the food this way. And yes, it is a reflection of the cultivation and further getting away from what I call our nature and our inner nature. So It's the outside, the anthropocentric approach of how we would consume our food instead of allowing ourselves to be nurtured by the real diversity of outer nature.
Good point. Yeah, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to come back and talk more about your new book and your documentary and all the work that you're doing for our beautiful world.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Thank you. Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Cara Johnstead, and with me in studio today is a humanitarian, author, and founder of the Fred Foundation, Mr. Fred Matza. And we're talking all about his work in this world. Fred, we left off with the connection to nature, I think being more aware. You also have in a chapter, you talk about competition. I'm not sure if the essay is called competition, but you talk about how we're conditioned early on to compete. And anybody who takes 1 second to think about this, we know that that competition starts so young, from sports to, you know, the elections for your school committees and everywhere. I think in every field, from climbing Mount Everest to who has the biggest pumpkin, we're competing constantly. And yet you talk a lot about how this is a huge mistake, that nature doesn't compete. It actually cooperates all the time. Can you share with us a little bit more about why this is so important to you?
Yeah, thank you, Cara, for asking also this question. Mm-hmm. Through the transcendental experiences and also reading about time, space, before and after, and the infinite as well, I realized that when you look at time and space, it expresses itself in molecules, cells, atoms, whatever, eons, whatever you want to call it. And it expresses itself from high densities deep in the earth, for example, to mm-hmm. very subtle fields at the edges of our universe. And the quality, or the, yeah, how do you call it, the quality of all those particles is always that they coexist. Any mm-hmm. particle, any description of space you take can never exist on the same spot at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so it is that I thought that the whole of time and space is just a transformation process that goes on and on. So I can never be in the same spot, in the same chair as you, Cara. Mm-hmm. So, and then I look at the world, and I looked at a world that is basically competing. Humanity competes. They want to be better than others. I can only feel better than yesterday or feel worse, but I can never compare myself with your feelings, because you have your feelings, I have my feelings. So it is a strange idea that in an all-inclusive system on a round earth that people compete. And mm-hmm. I always illustrate it, often illustrate it with the following. Tennis, the playing tennis, was developed to play together. So one person plays the ball to the other so that the other can make a stretch in such a way that the other person can return the ball. So it expresses that lovely continuum to keep just playing together and stretching to make new movements. It's like making love. You don't do it against one another. You do it with one another, and the result mm-hmm. is often very creative. So what we have made of that, you may have seen it, now they play tennis, one to the other, against the other, and the person that breaks that continuum, they give them a point. They honor the person that breaks the holy cycle. Yeah, and that yeah. is the real example based on which our whole organization, our whole society is organized. So I think we would better do, instead of competing, let's cooperate and compare with care in order to share with care. That's more logical. You know, if you see there's a shortage somewhere, you bring stuff, you know, because you want to share your happiness with somebody who is suffering. You want to help.
Yeah, I often, it's funny that you say this, because I have a course that I used to teach called, it was called Care, Dare, Share, or something. I hope I'm saying this right. But the essence was that if you look at nature, a tree is cared for, it's tended to, and it grows, and at some point it's going to give its fruit in abundance. It's going to share, right? So the seed is daring. Basically, it's getting cared for. Then through this care, it has the strength to really dare, right? To shoot up and dare. And then it ends up sharing. And if we root in the same way, and if we tend to each other in the same way, I used to say, and many people drop their stage fright within a minute, which if you know how many people are afraid to speak in front of people, this was pretty amazing, because they understood that once we root and care for each other, there is no fear. There is no fear to share your gifts and to receive also, right? So the nature, it shows this beauty in such abundance. It's just, it's so, I mean, my question for you, I guess, is if we remember that place, and I think all of us do with a kind of a melancholy, we remember the innocence, we remember the freedom, we remember giggling in the middle of the night and laughing and running with friends on the beach and being so carefree. Why do we not believe in this divine love that you're talking about? Everybody wants it, but nobody thinks deep down that it's possible, that it's so juicy and fun that we can leave these systems that are not working behind.
Well, in essence, the answer is the dominating view, philosophy in the world is materialism, mm-hmm. which basically says the human brain, which is a thing, it is matter, it produces consciousness. Mm-hmm. So they see consciousness as a product of the brain, which is matter. Mm-hmm. And when you start from the idea that matter is the leading thing, you come in the confusion we live in today, that you have to strive for matter. You need mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you occupy your consciousness, your awareness with stuff. You fight for stuff. But mm-hmm. if you mm-hmm. really understand that we are human beings, human is the finite, so the matter, the finite expression of the being to be, which means essence, which means infinity, you will see in essence we are infinite. It's only in time and space that we express matter, human. It is not the goal, but it's a process to be and share. I hope I've expressed this.
Yeah. How can we imagine, we can imagine this other system, but what would be some of the first steps to take to implement systems based more on functional behavior and not competition and comparison capitalism?
What we are doing with the newest, I'm the founder of, by the way, now 23 foundations, and the newest is Essentia Foundation. And what we try to do is to prove with the tools of the scientific world that not materialism needs to be the dominant way of thinking and the organizing of society related to it, but that non-dualism or idealism should be it. And what does idealism and non-dualism say? That time-space is a reflection of consciousness. Consciousness in itself is non-local, doesn't have a spot, doesn't know time. Time, space, the finite, is an expression of something unseen. And my friend Dr. Bernardo Kastrup, he leads this foundation, and we hope to bring the information to the scientific community in such a way that in the next 30, 40 years, the dominant way of philosophy, of thinking, will be non-dualism, which means if we organize our society related to that idea, then it's let's not compete, but let's compare with care in order to share with care. What is that infinite power? Now I go back to the experience that I described earlier in our conversation, which I had several times afterwards. It is sheer unconditional love. And it is the most amazing, wonderful feeling where, yeah, I would say, you feel, I feel, but in the meantime, the you or the I implodes. It's where basically there is no identity and you're just part of an infinite ocean of unconditional love. So, yeah, it's based on that conviction that I found it with Bernardo, the foundation, Essentia.
Essentia. It's the more than one, less than two moment, right? And you talked so, before the show started, we had some moments to actually talk about music. And music is a fascinating place because when we're in a tone, we're also in non-duality. The tone is, we can play with the word atone and at one, right? The atone, if you move the letters, is at one. And connecting also, music has the ability to shift time and space, which is so phenomenal because if you ever talk to drummers, we're able to synchronize the whole room, 1,000 people, 5,000 people, only with that beat of the drum and with the breath of the singer. So you also have a chapter on being an artist, and you talk in this chapter, in this essay, about how all of these remarkable works of art are more or less coming through us. They're being downloaded, that the artist has this ability to connect to the transpersonal sphere of primordial creativity, which I know because I live in this channel 24/7. So I know exactly this place that you're talking about. But I actually think that we all are creators. And that also, if we lead people back to this place, to this channel, then you will also experience that non-duality place. This, because we are all receiving sensations and emotions and messages, and well, as a voice person, I can share my inner world with the outer, but I'm also taking in that outer world all the time and transforming it and giving it back, right? So we're constantly in a co-creation place.
Yeah.
So share with us more about art and living as a conduit, living as a person who's, I mean, you obviously have 23 foundations, Fred. I mean, this is, you're busy. You're obviously a creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I'm learning in my life is to indeed, you talk about voice as your thing. I like it a lot, to listen to my inner voice. And it tells me a lot of, all the time, what I could do. It gives me all kind of options. And then the beautiful thing is, when I start to think about a project, then within a few days, the right people come in my life. And so we create alliances and start to work on a new plan. So to believe in that is amazing. And then I don't know if I described it in the book, but take Bach or Mozart, you know, they lived at a time that there already was a scripture in which you could ascribe the tones of music, how you play music, and so these guys, they got it from nowhere. They got music in their head, and they were lucky that at the time they got that information from nowhere, that there was a way to to write it down, and that a way to communicate that what so there was an organized system in which they could express what they heard, and there were guys and girls that could read that, and there were people that had the ability to make the most wonderful instruments that were all in tune with the different other instruments and were expressing different ways of wonderful sounds. And then there was the conductor, and then they that what Mozart got from the spheres, he was able to bring it back to the ears of the audience, and the audience was equipped with an inner system to recognize that what came from the infinite beauty through all lovely cooperation of people at the time that there was a way to write it up in an organized way so that it could be shared and be enjoyed.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah, and I was thinking too, when you were talking about voice and projects, for me, it's always like people don't realize that the projects, they're almost like projections in space and time, because it's, now I'm going off on a tangent, but it's if we realize that we're a radiant star being, okay, now the people are already getting their coffee, you know, but it's like that. And we start attracting each other. It's just like the Big Dipper or like Pleiades or whatever. We become on the Earth these constellations, and that is our projects. Yeah. We are projecting our energy and our radiance into the world, and those projects, are projecting light out into the world. So we're going to take a short break, Fred, and then we're going to be back with some more philosophy and talk more about your work for our planet. Thank you.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Life is a flow, and enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is G.P. Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on Om Times Radio, called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and let yourself be transformed.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio is Fred Matza, humanitarian author and founder of the Fred Foundation. We left off with basically each one of us being a radiant light source for this world, and how when we create projects through connecting our visions and our gifts, that we literally create constellations that can shine out into the world. Fred, you talk about language being so integral to our lives, and yet we know, most of us know, that we are being inundated by so much information. The information is doubling, tripling every day. I think that the amount of searches and everything possible, we've strayed away from poetry or taking time maybe to listen to a symphony. I know that as someone who produces music, people are complaining if they have to even listen to more than a minute of something at one time. So how can we honor the sensory language, or what is your experience with a language which is not coming from information and logic and the linear side, but more the sensory side?
Yeah. Well, at the time that I was CEO of the real estate company, I was a very rational man and still also using my feelings and intuition. Mm-hmm. But we didn't speak about it. It was something like, yeah, well, it's there, but no idea exactly what it is. So you always try to explain why you did A, B, or C, and mm-hmm. communicate about it. And it was just by a lack of language and trust in that other capacity, the feeling, the female one, the intuitive one, that you didn't speak about it. It's only later that through thinking about, and that goes a little bit very far, but I realized that time, and if this goes too far, please tell me, mm-hmm. time-space exists by the grace of polarity, plus minus, it's dualism. Mm-hmm. It's the male-female, plus minus thinking capacity, the feeling capacity, mm-hmm. physical strength, and the power of vulnerability, you know, and those are two polarities that needs to be dynamically in harmony. So mm-hmm. later on, I thought that we are not learned to trust that feed our feelings. And why often? Because our feelings often are disturbed by emotions. Emotions you can feel, but they don't allow you to feel the whole and all. They, through fear, you get a focus to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And I saw that if we can give love to our stress, our emotion, then it dissolves and we can come back in the feeling. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the stress, that was your question, comes into society because we all believe in the ratio, in the mental faculty, the hard worker, the in the meantime, dysfunctional male part. It is wonderful to think, as long as the process of thinking helps to feed the heart, to nourish the heart, allow the heart, the feeling, to make the decisions. The thinking is the servant, needs to be the servant of the heart. But what we see is that the products of our thinking are like unguided missiles, and they can create enormous harm, such as now climate problems, huge climate problems, because we have put the products of our thinking on a pedestal. And that's not right.
Yeah, we're very... We're not able to be embodied in our body, this embodied presence, right? Because we're just thinking and solving and moving through the world. And we see, you know, even in the midst of this pandemic, it has been fascinating for me to see that there's only one solution being looked at often. But we all know that there were an amazing amount of wildfires last year. We know that mm-hmm. that we're talking about a disease that has to do with the lungs, and we do know that we had fires in Brazil, in the Amazon, we have fires in Siberia, we had fires in Australia, and yet these are so quickly forgotten from the news cycle that we have massive problems, and I'm not saying we're being consciously distracted, but a distraction is there. although the climate is as big of a predicament and as dangerous as a virus. That's what I'm saying. And so you know, the virus is stopping us and we're in lockdown. But the fact that the glaciers are melting and that the city that you're close to might even be underwater is not stopping us. We continue to go, you know, drinking our cappuccino and continue to invest in the stocks that we know are destructing the planet. And it is fascinating that because we're so in our head that we're not feeling, really feeling also what is health, what is well-being, and what is unconditional love, right?
Yeah.
So you have this new book. I'm gonna plug it now. This book, Beyond Us, just got released, and it highlights many of the modern society's ills without mandating concrete solutions. It's really asking us to read and feel and sense and take a different perspective, maybe to reflect on how we can look at things differently. Do you have plans for a new book, or are you just excited to get this one out and share it with the world?
I think I'm going to do a new one with essays. I'll start in a couple of months, and hopefully that will be on the market next year.
Nice. And what would you like your reader, after reading the book, and after watching the documentary? I think if you put in the search engines, Beyond Me is a documentary, which I did want to ask a question. The book is Beyond Us. The documentary is Beyond Me. So what is the difference? Is it because the documentary is you're speaking more?
Yeah, if you want to look at the documentary, please go beyondmedocumentary.org, one word. Mm-hmm. And during the filming of the documentary, I got the idea also to write essays, for which I didn't have a title. And then I thought, why not do it now, Beyond Us? So that was more like a little bit twist.
That was your inner voice.
Your
inner voice guiding you. Yeah,
let's do this Beyond Us.
And then the next one will be Beyond Finite, and then it'll be Beyond Infinity, and then it'll be dissolving into the all. You talk a lot about, too, Fred, you talk a lot about, look at all these projects and books. We are connected through words. Although there is something beyond words, it is yet words that are connecting us in this interview, that are connecting us through the books. The words can help build relationships to others. We can connect and create a global heart and mind through words. And yet, I think you would agree, through our conditioning, the words are sometimes overlaying those feminine or those more sensory emotional parts of us. We don't have the word sometimes for when we blush or when we stutter or when we are open and vulnerable. We haven't learned that. So do we need to change our educational system, or should we be reading more poetry? What is your advice for people who want to come back to that heart space?
Cara, I think it is very important to realize that we are the only species out of the billions expressions on this earth and in the universe that use words to communicate. Even our body, every second millions of cells die in order to maintain the integrity of the body, and there come new cells, but they don't use words. The bloodstream, the breath, it doesn't communicate in words. It goes much faster. Starlings, they fly together in perfect harmony, and expressing even harmony through our eyes without using any word, not touching one another. Ants know that way. Everything that expresses us into in the finite does don't use words. So the simple fact, I have no idea, to realize that may bring you to other ideas. How to live, how to be grateful, how to be forgiving, how to be whatever. Think of people that don't have words, that are deaf, or that speak the wrong language, so to say, or whatever. They're part of us. They're part, all kind of expressions of love and life, life and love. And if we can address that and face that without fear, we can change our inner feelings, our inner being.
Well, what words have really deep inside, I thought I would play with you now, is they're all parts. They're all parts of sound, right? And birds that are flying, it's all vibration, right? So if you take a word like connect or like, let's say the word connect, because I'm looking at it on my page, you have the sound k, and you have the sound a, and you have the sound n, and you have the sound e, and you have the sound k, and you have the sound t. And when we're babies, when we come with that open voice channel, we are basically in that field of sound. I mean, you said before that Mozart, he's pulling it out of nowhere. The amazing thing is that the radio wouldn't work if there was not a quantum field around us that is full of vibrational tuning, right? It wouldn't work, and musicians won't work. So the interesting thing for me always is when I tell people to unravel their thought systems, I tell them to take apart words back into sounds, because words are created through putting different sounds together. So the fastest way to deprogram is to take a word and put it back into the, in German you'd say the Bausteine, you take it back and put it into the sound, and suddenly if somebody says, I hate you, and you realize it's I, H, A, T, U, you, it doesn't have so much power anymore. It doesn't have so much power anymore, right? It doesn't really have power anymore. So when we unravel... when we unravel back into sound, I think that's the space that you're always talking about, this spaciousness, this time, you know, this beauty of the infinite. We're coming to the close of the show. What is your vision? Number one, what would you like the people to take with them after they read the book? But where would you like to the world to be in 6 months or a year from now? We are in a big transitional moment. Do you have a vision that you carry for our world where we want to be? And through the quantum field, we can just say, that's it. We are there.
Yeah. Perhaps a simple one is if we take the pictures of the astronauts that they made from the planet, we all can see it's a picture of a beautiful round planet. And a better way of symbolizing infinity can't be thought of, a round thing, where in a way you can infinitely go around. So by the grace of gravity, by the grace of that thin layer of, 7 or 8K above the Earth, we can breathe. And we have been given all a spot in togetherness with all the expressions of life to coexist and move all the time.
Yes.
That's perhaps the most simple way to say it, you know, because I think it's for all of us easy to relate to.
Yeah. And do you think it's possible to... Well, obviously you do think it's possible. Then my last question is, you think it's possible, and I know it's possible, and I think a lot of people do feel deep love and a longing. They do understand this. So many, we're not alone in this, Fred, you and I. I think a lot of people.
Yeah.
So my question is always, why do we still run to the news and believe that we don't have the power to live healthy, good lives, and instead are pulled towards Hollywood films of violence and not believing that it's possible. Because I think 80%, if not more, people are really good, and they're peaceful and they're loving and they're kind and they're doing the best. I've always asked myself, it's my biggest struggle. Yeah.
Yeah, me too, by the way, because I also watch the news. I always and also read the newspaper and also go to Netflix. And I like it. And sometimes, indeed, it's not logical, but I like the stimulus. But I also combine it with a lot of walks and in nature. During the day, early in the morning, I start at 5 o'clock already. I go in nature all by myself because there's nobody. Yeah. So there's a kind of balance. And it is, in a way, an addiction that I suffer from, too, to listen too much to the news, because I think, maybe I can do something about it. But no, it doesn't serve the purpose. And thank you for thinking about it.
Yeah. We stay in the place of love. We've come to the end of this beautiful show. Thank you, Mr. Fred Matze, for being with me today at Voice Rising. I commend you for all the work you do for our planet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. And miles of smiles. Sprinkles and twinkles and lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.